Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
He wants to be good little boys now so we can fight some war for them in the future. Some war they'll decide on. We'd rather fight our own war right now.
Without further ado, it's time to start running!
I see three of them out there.
Hit the one in the middle.
Right! Hit the one in the middle.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Apparently it's rusted junk and we're looking at it.
Hello and welcome to season 3 of Rusted Junk, where we're focusing on action. And we are looking at the 1985 film Commando, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Roy Duenchon, Dan Hedaya, Vernon Wells, and David Patrick Kelly.
They hunted him down.
You know, Colonel, we went to a lot of trouble to find you.
They murdered his friends. And they took the only thing he would kill for.
If he wants your kid back, then you gotta cooperate. Right?
Wrong.
Now, somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
Do you think that he is going to give us any problems?
You'll do exactly as he's told.
Hasta luego, fellas.
You're a funny guy, Sully. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
Are you going to tell me what's going on or what?
No. Don't disturb my friend. He's dead tired. What are you doing?
Helping you get her back.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Major. You did.
I lied.
If it's a mission no man can survive, he's the man for the job. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Commando.
Let's party.
So, Commando.
Commando.
They had the best line in it. One of the best lines in the film is in the trailer. Sorry, remember when I said I was going to kill you last? I lied.
That's Did you just trailer. Do that to show off your sort of auntie-esque?
Oh, with the crikey. Usually, my accents are way off the mark. But
yeah, they all usually sound a bit Welsh.
That sound a little bit
Indian,
a bit Schwarzeneggerish.
Yeah, a little.
I'll take any compliment I can get. But anyway, we're here, season 3. It's good to be back.
I know, season 3.
Season 3.
How
Who would
did
have thought?
That happen? We've been on it a year now.
Over a year.
Our
first one was the 17th of October.
And today
is the 21st of October.
Although you'll be listening to this later.
Yeah, you'll be listening to this, but I can get my behind into gear and edit it. And
get it uploaded.
Absolutely. But yeah, so we...
Happy birthday to us.
Happy anniversary.
Is it a birthday or anniversary?
Well, I don't know.
I suppose it wasn't. Well, it could have
been. We first met the podcast last year in October.
Okay.
So...
Happy birth anniversary day.
There you go. You have missed us, haven't you? You've missed that. So if I chose the theme, if there was no theme to season 1, it was just whatever we felt like it. Season 2 was obviously teen films, which then veered off slightly. I think you can guess, because the season 3 theme is action, as I said, but how it came about was how. Amanda.
Oh.
Well, you told me not to call you Mandy on this.
Oh, no, I don't mind. You call me whatever. As long as it's...
Okay, whatever.
Whatever.
What did you think of me? Okay, whatever. How did we come to that?
That's cleaner than what you sometimes call me.
It's a bit rude.
Yeah, well, it was like we were sort of thinking about type of themes, really, and I said, oh, I'd really like to see some sort of action movies for me 80s, because there's a lot that I've heard of and I probably haven't seen.
Like Commando.
Like Commando.
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 Okay. Wait, the waitress version.
Commando. Yeah, and stuff that I'd kind of heard of or seen snippets of, but never actually watched straight through, because they weren't really my kind of movies.
It's pretty much every film, though, isn't it? I mean, it's not limited to action. I mean,
that's just regular, a bit rude,
regular listeners
isn't it?
Know. Oh yeah, I walked into the lounge and it was on, and then I went and got to something, and I went back again.
That's because I'm busy. I'm always busy.
Right.
Doing stuff.
Oh. You're back anyway.
We have to schedule a sit down and watch a movie, don't we?
Not normally, no.
Well, we do.
No, because we have to take notes for it. So how we do it is we schedule that we're going to watch it. Otherwise, just flop down and you go, oh, what's on Netflix?
I don't do that at all. Normally you've queued something up to watch anyway.
Yeah, which either hits or misses.
Yeah. Anyway, right. So yeah, this is Commando, however you want to say it.
Hmm.
Made in 1985.
Yes. Are you going to say how we got to the theme?
Oh, how did we get to the theme, darling?
Oh, okay. You said you wanted to watch films with Jean-Claude Van Damme in. That's predominantly how we've come up with this theme.
It wasn't anything like that whatsoever.
It was exactly that.
It was not.
Oh, look, he can do the splits. Oh,
no,
look,
I just
belting.
Thought, you know,
oh,
it'd be just nice just to reminisce, you know, from when he was, you know, just starting out in movies.
You're reminiscing from nothing. You didn't see him in anything.
I did.
What films are we doing then?
Some stuff.
What's your favourite Jean-Claude Van Damme film?
I don't know. But I had a poster of him on my cupboard door.
Right, so
when I was at uni.
We are doing this whole season because she had a poster of him on her door. Right, well,
JCVD.
I hope you enjoy it. By the time we get to start season four, are we doing, country westerns?
No,
we're going to do westerns.
Muppets.
Or something like that. But anyway, so here we are. Jean-Claude Van Damme films. There was quite a few in the 80s. I want to kickboxer. I've lost out to Bloodsport, so we will be doing Bloodsport at some point. Kickboxer is the better film. But anyway, so Commando. Scores?
7.5.
7.5. That's mine. That's 7.5. Yeah.
That's yours?
Yeah, 7.5.
See, we don't discuss this beforehand.
We don't at all.
We can stay very stum, if that's a word.
7.5. It's not going to... Well, I was going to say it's not going to win any awards. It probably wins awards for body count. But it's what it is. It's a Schwarzenegger film of the 80s. You're going to reserve your 8s, your 9s, your 10s, potentially... For Terminator, for, you know, films, other films that followed, like True Lies and things like that.
I didn't watch Terminator all the way through because I was really scared.
No, well. what was that, 2 years ago, wasn't it? I don't think it was at the time.
Well, when did it come out?
She didn't watch films at the time.
Was it
84? 84, yeah.
Well, I was only 10. No wonder I was, like, really scared
of
that.
Wait a minute. Backtrack here.
What?
So... It would have taken at that time at least 4 or 5 years to come on the TV.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, they'd made two.
So you didn't watch it in
84.
You got scared of it in 89 when you were 15.
Oh, I didn't even watch it at 15.
Oh, right. Okay. So
I
you
think
would,
it was probably about 18.
Would you
when
still
I first
get scared about it now?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd watch it though because I'm a bit more grown
film.
Up now. But it's just it is.
We'll have a triple bill with Nightmare on Elm Street and Aliens.
Oh no, we're not doing that now. Oh. No, absolutely not.
Dom, if you're listening, I haven't forgotten you. Nightmare on Elm Street, mate. But
no.
Anyway. All right.
It will never happen. You'll have to get someone else to watch
it
with
do.
You.
I will do. I've already got somebody lined up.
And do the podcast. So,
yeah.
Not me.
Yep.
Soz.
I've already replaced
Seriously,
you for one
I
of
will
them.
Not sleep if I watch things like that.
You bought a thing called a weighted blanket. I think you could sleep under a nuclear winter. I think it's pretty much knocked you out for the whole time it would take for the Earth to recover. So, yeah. I don't think that Freddy Krueger and his knife hands would keep you up. You go, oh, I'm really scared. And that's it. Doesn't sound exactly like that. It's far, far louder, far more pronounced. Anyway.
You are so cheeky.
Anyway, right. So we're both on 7.5. I like that. Why 7.5? I genuinely look forward to watching it again. I genuinely look forward to, because I haven't seen it in quite a long time. I have got a good story about one of the times that I did see it, which I'll reserve after roll call. I'll tell you all about it. But so the premise is Arnold Schwarzenegger is him and his team have retired They've obviously done enough work for the government. They've all disappeared into their own lives. They've been given like witness protection, new identities, and moved to other places. Right at the start of the film, it doesn't pull any punches. Right at the start of the film, certain members of the team start getting killed off, and the reason why is because they're trying to find their way all the way to Arnie.
I think three of them get bumped off before the rolling credits.
Yeah,
start
before the credits start the film. You come in, yeah, and it's pretty good because I mean it's a good opener, and you're wondering what's going to happen. But yeah, I've just lost my train of thought. So yeah.
Should we go to Inside Out?
It's a product of its time. It's the first Arnie film, if you think about it. It's the first Arnie film where he was the Terminator and he'd established himself as a Terminator. We'll get to that later. I don't think that was Terminator. The contentious as it might be, I don't think Terminator's his breakout film. I don't think that's the thing that catapulted him to superstardom success. But anyway, back to the plot. They find him. He's actually got a log cabin in the woods, high up in the mountains. You can only get to it by helicopter.
No, you see, I thought I was a bit confused there. I thought he was in Switzerland or Austria or something.
Oh, no. Well, that'd be a hell of a helicopter ride from the army base. But but yeah, that's US-Swiss army base, I suppose. It's probably where Swiss Army knives come from. Who knows? They find him. They kidnap his daughter. They tell him, you've got to go and kill the president of Val Verde, who he helped put in, obviously, on one of his missions that he did.
Is that actually a real country?
Oh, I'll tell you all about that in trivia time. It's very good. It's something that, as soon as I watched another film, I went, oh, because I remember the name. So anyway, it'll all become clear. So yeah, he has to go and do it. Predictably, he doesn't want to do it. So he spends half the film trying to find where his daughter is, and then probably a good third of the film killing most of the people on his way to the daughter, but we'll get to that in a moment.
He's only trying to find his daughter because they took his daughter.
Yeah, they're trying to find his daughter. He was trying to get to his daughter, yeah.
Forgot to say that.
Okay. That's, right, okay.
She's not lost. She was kidnapped.
She is lost because he doesn't know where she is. So, she's lost. She knows where she is.
She just hasn't wandered off.
She's not lost. Yeah, but she's not lost.
No, she's been kidnapped.
She doesn't know where she is, but she's not lost.
Anyway.
Right, so, 7.5. Why 7.5 then for you?
Because it didn't need a lot of thought to watch it. It was full of action.
Yep.
Arnie looked well buff.
Mm.
And not in like an overly gratuitous buff way. Like, what? He wasn't over muscly. He was just like really well formed.
What? Okay.
That sounds really odd.
I don't know. Your eyes were darting all over the place, so who knows where you were.
Oh, dear. And it was all right, you know, typical kind of rage against the bad guys, reclaim my daughter back kind of movie, really. You know, the format has been done many times afterwards. I suppose he's a bit like the John Wick of his time, really, in a way.
No, the body counts were similar.
Yeah. Although that's far more brutal, John Wick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but
yeah, but
you couldn't have done, you couldn't have done a John Wick style film in the 80s. I mean, it was gratuitous. There were very gratuitous films, but not to the point of, you know, there seemed a time whereby you'd watch films and then you but kind of like get desensitized to it.
Yeah.
Especially when you watch films in the 80s. And then Jean-Claude Van Damme would bring a film out, and then Dolph Lundgren would bring a film out, and then Stallone would bring a film out, and suddenly you go, all right, okay. And if you look at that, I mean, take Die Hard. So Die Hard, the bit where he's underneath the table, and you know the guy's going, oh, you know, you're running out of bullets, and you've got nowhere else to go, and he's doing it. John McClane shoots him through the table. You literally see the bullets going through his legs up into his body and stuff, and it's really, and you just think. Films were gratuitous, but it almost seems like you look at something like John Wick and then you go, it's just relentless. It doesn't give you much time to stop, take stock, and like before you net onto the next one.
No.
Whereas at least with these films, there was a little bit. Not in this example, I may add. Not certainly not at the end.
Okay, so the other reasons for 7.5. Acting wasn't great, but I think that's why I didn't give it an 8.
Okay.
But I just thought it was, I don't know whether this is the right phrase, but an upbeat action movie. Is it upbeat?
Upbeat.
Upbeat.
Well.
Well, it's not really upbeat, is it? But it's kind of like, it has a pace to it.
Hmm.
It's fairly predictable. But yeah, you know, first time I've seen it, I thought it was all right.
Right, okay.
I did think there were some really bad kind of... what's the word? Makeup. Not makeup as such, but like the when they get shot, it looked a little bit like the raspberry jam out of donuts.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah,
it was a bit rubbish. And some of the stuntmen, like with the crossover from the stuntman to Arnie, was awful.
So yeah, I was going to point that
really
out. Some of the ones you can really tell.
Yeah, you're like, that's clearly not Arnie.
Yeah. He did like to do a lot of the stunts himself, but he ain't no Tom Cruise.
No.
Like, Tom Cruise will hang off a rock in the middle of nowhere and you go, right, okay, well, let's get a close-up. Because it's obviously Tom Cruise. Okay.
So, I thought it was a good film. I'd probably watch it again.
Well, I'll watch the ending again every time. We saw the director's cut. We'll get to that after roll call, which has some additional bits in it. But we'll get to that, and I'll tell you where the additional bits were.
Okay, because I haven't seen it before, so I don't know.
Fantastic.
Roll call, come on.
I will tell you. Here we go, roll call. Roll call. Okay, so, it almost feels like a sort of, I can only do it with one of the people in here. I can't do, right, okay, well, let's do Little Does She Know About Dan Hedaya.
Who?
You're going to go, right, okay, the guy that played the incoming president, the guy that kidnapped his daughter.
Okay.
So, Arnold Schwarzenegger, 3 films. Let's go. You can't have Terminator. And you can't have True Lies.
Oh!
No, you can't have the films that I've mentioned. Terminator,
okay, Twins.
Okay, that's a... That would get you a gold star answer.
Thanks.
Okay.
Kindergarten Cop.
Great, wow. Okay, we're going for all these nice films, aren't we?
And... what about the old soldiers? Was he in that one?
Yes, he was.
What were they called?
The Expendables.
That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Thanks.
Old soldiers.
God.
Well, he first came to fame. He starred in Pumping Iron. His first film role was in Hercules in New York in 1970.
My God, I wasn't even born then.
Yeah. I know.
How old was he?
Because when was he born? I think he was born...
we worked it out, didn't 50, we? He's 3 47. Years younger than my mum.
Yeah, so he's...
So my mum was...
Well, how old's your mum?
Mum was...
No, it's not a hard question. How old's your mum? And he's plus 3.
No, he's minus 3.
Okay, well, again, how old's your mum? And we'll take 3 away from it.
76. He's 73.
Right, 73 then. Right.
Yeah, but how old was he in 70?
1973.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Bad art man.
70. Yeah, yeah, 23.
Was he?
23, because he's 73 now, yeah. So that fits, because he won his first Mr. Olympia in 1970.
Wow.
I'm going to mention some of the others. Red Heat with James Belushi. Not Jim Belushi. James Belushi. That's really good. Raw Deal. As soon as he made Commando, he made a couple of Raw Deal was straight to video. Red Heat was at the cinema. So some of the films just went straight to video and so on. But I think his breakout film was Predator.
Oh, I did like that film.
Because after that, it rolled in. I mean, the big roles came in. It almost felt like when Stallone did Rocky,
he made his name doing Rambo, though. Surely.
Yeah, but he was Rocky before he was Rambo.
Was he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was he?
Rocky was 76.
Oh.
Yeah, so way before Rambo, which was 1980.
Okay.
So, yeah, you look at somebody like, and you think, okay, Stallone's got his acting chops. You might not like his acting, but Rocky, he was a director as well, and I know there was like this bit of rivalry between Stallone and Schwarzenegger, and it's nice and healthy, which plays off nicely in Expendables in the end. But Predator went stratospheric because, I mean, it was just, it's pretty much the Schwarzenegger film that I'll just, I can, and I have many times, just watch over and over again. I was into pirating films at that time, and I can't remember, but because I was at public school, I got a copy of Predator. I got a VHS copy of Predator.
Can you be prosecuted retrospectively?
Probably, yeah. Help yourself. I think it's in a landfill somewhere, so yeah, go and help yourself. Go and find the evidence. But yeah, it was watching Predator and having it on VHS. I can't remember why I had it now, and I can't think back. But somebody at school had it. I made a copy of it. I took it home and watched it. Then it came out at the cinema, and then I went and watched it two or three times at the cinema.
Blimey.
Oh.
And you just did went, like it
this
then?
Is Predator. Yeah, absolutely.
I probably didn't see it till about, what year was that out?
Predator, 87. It's 2 years later.
No, I probably didn't see it you till went about, to, yeah, till you went. Probably 95. 35.
I don't know. So we've got Twins, we've got Kindergarten Cop, we've got Total Recall. That is outstanding. Total Recall is outstanding. When we do sci-fi, can we have films from the 1980 to 1989, or do we do the decade? Can we have 1990? Because if we can,
but that's not forgotten
recall.
80s films, though, is it? If it's in no, 90.
It's forgotten. Start of the 90s. Well, it depends.
No.
It depends when you think that the decade ends.
It doesn't.
Well. No. Terminator 2, of course, one of the best sequels of all time. True Lies. He was in a film called Eraser, which I'm going to... I was going to highlight as the film to watch. Eraser's good old spy fun. It's pretty good. It's no True Lies. But I'm going to highlight End of Days, where he's basically fighting satanic forces and stuff. It's so good, and it's so sort of in character but out of character. He reprised his role in Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, then Terminator Genesis, and then Terminator Dark Fate. So he has still, you know, made his name as Terminator. He was also Mr. Freeze in Batman and Robin. And the less said about Batman and Robin, the better. It's awful. But he's the best thing in it.
Not to be confused with the ice pops.
No, but he still has one-liners. And for the life of me, I think I'm trying to try to block the film out. I can't remember any Mr. Freeze one-liners. Like something about staying the cooler or something. I don't know. Literally, it's an awful film. So yeah, Stallone, still going. Still does his one-liners. Obviously,
Stallone?
Sorry, not Stallone. Schwarzenegger. I've got Stallone on there. We will do Stallone. We can't do 80s
action. You're getting your muscly men mixed up.
Absolutely.
Easily done, isn't it?
Anyway, Van Damme. I mean, you know, he then went on to be governor of California. You know, he went on and had this big political career.
And he's
still
got a pet,
doing films.
A pet miniature donkey.
I didn't know that. What's a donkey?
You're not
name?
Following him on Facebook?
No.
Okay. I think her name's Daisy or something.
Sounds like I'm not missing much if he's just all he's posting is pictures of his donkey.
Yeah. He goes out.
No euphemism. No euphemism required.
He goes out on his bike as well and films himself going out for a bike ride. It's all a bit
wait a minute,
normal.
Stop the podcast. Let's go and look at his Facebook page. It sounds riveting. Sounds amazing. Anyway, on to Ray Dawn Chong, who is the love interest in this. She's very nice in this. She's a... yes, very nice. She was in... You wouldn't know any films that she's in. We could
the love interest?
Yeah.
Well, who are we talking
at
about?
At the end...
Who are we talking about?
The girl. There's only one in there.
No, there's two. There's his daughter.
Yeah, not well. She's definitely not his love interest.
Well, exactly. I thought you were on about her.
No.
Right.
We'll get to the daughter in a moment.
Okay.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, that's a completely different film. Anyway, I'd say the love interest. Love interest at the end, but there's obviously something going on. There's obviously... They look like a family unit at the end.
Yeah, they did,
yeah,
actually.
So, yeah. You know... Okay... Stretching the term love interest, I suppose. She was in The Colour Purple. She was also in a film called The Principal. Again, here he pops up again, James Belushi. the principal is great. But she was also in a TV series called Wildcard from 2003-2004. No idea. She hasn't done a lot. File it in, not a lot since.
Mm.
But she starred in a film in 1986, if I remember right, called Soul Man, with C. Thomas Howell, who was the young guy in The Hitcher. He had some quite good roles. He was in The Outsiders and lots of other things. But Soul Man. Remember me, I showed you the trailer for it about 3 weeks ago. The kid that couldn't get into college. So what does he do? He wants to get a scholarship into university. But the scholarship, he's white. The scholarship is only for black kids. So what does he do? He blacks himself up.
Yes, I remember, do you remember me showing you that?
And I'm going, whoa, there is a product of the 80s. Well, there is a film that, I mean, first of all, if it turned up, I mean, remarkably, if it turned up on Netflix or Amazon Prime or anything like that, it's one of those films whereby, yeah, but I mean, at the time, I remember I found it funny at the time because he was funny and he was trying to do Stevie Wonder impressions and stuff like this. But as I grew up, time moves on. People move on and attitudes right themselves because it's just...
It's not right.
It's not right.
No.
But she falls... Rae Dong-Chung is the definite love interest in there. He falls in love with her. She doesn't know, even though it's quite evident he's got, like, boot polish on his face, right? She falls in love with him.
What if they have, like, intimate encounters?
I don't know, because it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. He reveals it at the end. You know, he reveals that he's white at the end of like this courtroom scene type thing that they have in the school.
Oh.
It's very odd. It's a product of its time, but steer clear of that.
Yeah.
Stick on the principal, and she's great in that. She's probably good in The Colour Purple, but I haven't seen it. It's just one of those films that, and it's a Spielberg film. It's just passed me by. I need to write that. Dan Hedaya, the guy that's...
Hedaya.
We may see him again in this season.
Oh.
Because as well as being a character actor that starred in a lot of TV series, like a lot of them did, Chips, Sint Elsewhere, Hill Street Blues, Miami Vice, Equalizer, LA Law, pretty much playing the same character.
Yeah.
Whenever I look at Dan Hedaya, I always see Nick Tortelli from Cheers.
I still don't know who you mean.
Carla's husband. The guy that was in waiting, the guy that kidnapped his daughter. You're going to reinstate me as president.
Hmm.
Yeah, him.
Hmm.
Do you know who I mean now? You only watched it yesterday.
The guy in beige with quite a hairy chest.
Yes.
He's in Cheers?
Yes. He's Nick Tortelli in Cheers. Carla's husband.
Well, I don't think I've seen him then.
Okay, well, I don't think you remember Cheers. But
Carla,
yeah.
Is she the really curly-haired...
Yes.
Right, okay.
So Nick is her husband. Or was a husband. But I didn't realise that it was so popular in Cheers, they actually made a spin-off series. I had no idea, called The Tortellis.
Oh.
She wasn't in it.
What?
Yeah, he was in it with all the kids. And the kids kept dipping in and out of Cheers. So you keep seeing the kids in Cheers.
Right.
Right. It lasted one season. But he still, even though that, he still came back in and out.
Right.
Of Cheers.
That's a bit weird, though. It's not very having odd. Her in a family spin-off from Cheers.
Okay. Well, anyway. He's also in The Addams Family. We watched that recently.
Which one?
Both. He's in Addams Family and Addams Family Values. So he's in both of them. But the reason why we'll see him again is the Billy Crystal... Gregory Hines film Running Scared, which I think is on the list of things that we're going to watch. He plays a police captain. He plays Captain Logan, and he's very good. Very good. Running Scared is a great film.
Okay.
So yeah, it's definitely on the list. Okay, moving on. Vernon Wells. Vernon Wells. I even said to you, oh look, it's the guy that played Bennett, the guy in the very very tight string vest. The guy that was in Arnold Schwarzenegger's team.
Oh, the one with the Freddy one that faked his death moustache. At
the start. Yeah, the one with the moustache.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in Mad, for those who we covered him in Weird Science, because he played the leader of the gang that invade the party at the end of Weird Science.
Now, one observation about him.
Yeah.
He wasn't very buff. Considering he was supposed to have been a teammate of Arnie's, he just didn't have any.
Do you know what? We may get to that in trivia time.
Okay.
We may do. These are good questions, because you don't know what I prepared for trivia time.
He had a pot belly and everything. It was like...
Yeah, it still wouldn't go up. I mean, in Mad Max 2, you definitely wouldn't cross it.
Well, you kind of shaped up a bit then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got these three, these films. The rest of it, it's again, he was in Fall Guy, Hunter, Knight Rider, MacGyver. You know, he just did stuff after that, and that's fine, because you even look at him now and he looks like a very not haggard, not by haggard, I don't mean like well worn and, you know, dishevelled or anything. He looks like worn in, but he looks nothing like it. But if you look at his eyes, you go, that is Vernon Wells.
Oh, he doesn't look better. Like himself then.
No.
Right.
So James Olsen, who plays Major Frank Kirby, who actually comes and finds Schwarzenegger and tells him, I think your life might be in danger right at the start of the film.
All he seems to do is just walk in and walk out.
Yeah, well, he walks in and walks out, and then he has little scenes in between where he says, you know, things like, you know, what should we prepare? Well, if John Matrix is on the loose, then prepare for World War III. What are you expecting, sir? World War III. You know, he'll come in and he'll do those sorts of lines. I didn't realise. I mean, he's in things like, you know, but he started early and worked up to Commando.
Right.
So he was in Bonanza, he was in Ironside, Columbo, Streets of San Francisco, Wonder Woman, Bionic Woman, a lot of women in there. And then Commando, and then nothing. Pretty much, there was stuff, but he gave up acting in 1990.
For what reason?
Don't know. Oh. Can't find out. I tried to find out why he gave up acting. I don't know. Oh. But he's still alive. He's 90.
Goodness me.
Yes. He was born in 1930. He's 90.
Crumbs.
But he plays... He's if you added up all of his scenes, he's in the film for less than 2.5 minutes. But he makes an impression. You believe that he is, you know, major. David Patrick Kelly. Sully. You said you were going to kill me last. I lied.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
The smaller one.
And he's from...
Twin Peaks.
Yes. And his character is...
The brother.
Called...
Can't remember.
Jerry Horn.
That's the one.
Yes. He's also in John Wick and John Wick 2. I can't remember him in those. I know, I was looking at that and then I clicked the picture. Oh, right, yeah, oh, him. Right.
Oh.
He's also starring... I have to get this in. I'm just fast forwarding slightly, but he's also played a character for 6 episodes in The Blacklist. So yes, on season 3 we have a James Spader connection. Woohoo!
Oh my god!
Woohoo! It won't be the last time. I'm sure we'll be able to link some back every time. But yes, James Spader. It's like 6 degrees of James Spader. In this case, just one. So he's in black, but because he was in Twin Peaks. It goes without saying, he ends up in Wild at Heart.
Right.
Which is, again, incredible. It's an incredible film. And I keep saying, every time we mention Wild at Heart, I said, we're going to watch Wild at Heart. And then we sit around, and in 2 days' time, we'll be sat there going, oh, what are we going to watch? Well, I don't know. And we'll always forget all of these films we want to watch, even though they're staring us in the face. My standout film, I have to mention this, is a film called The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Who?
Right.
That sounds like some, like, 80s soft porn movie.
Pardon me. It made it, well, I don't know. It was a rental on very, very good friend. Do you remember Will Stallard? Will?
Yes.
Okay, so Will was always clever, you know, even at an early age. And we needed something to watch. It was just me and him. Folks were away. He said, I'll just come up, we'll have a few beers and stuff. What should we rent?
It wasn't the soft porn.
We got this film. No, it wasn't. Not with Will. And there's a comedian called Andrew Dice Clay. He was in the 80s, like the 80s, 90s, highly offensive. I mean, highly offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chubby Brown and then some, you know, but not the same humour. But I'm just trying to find a level. to those US listeners, just go and watch like a minute of Chubby Brown and then go, oh, right, okay, well, I get that. Andrew Dice Clay played a fictional character called Ford Fairlane. It's just a great film. It's very offensive, again, like the character, but the film just works. And at the end of it, Will turned to me and I just thought, oh, God, he's got such a high intellectual bar and all this sort of stuff. Oh, God, he's going to hate this. And, oh, we shouldn't have read. He was laughing all the way through it. At the end of it, he went, that was amazing. And I'm like, yeah, it was, wasn't it? And you go back and watch it now. It's got Priscilla Presley in it. It's got Wayne Newton. It's fantastic. But it's got David Patrick Kelly in, which is why I mention it here. Huh? Please go and watch Adventure of Ford Fairlane and then Wild at Heart. Not on a double bill, because they really don't complement each other. Bill Duke, the black guy.
Oh, right. I've seen him before in something.
What have you seen him in?
He's not been in any Bond movies, has he?
No. As far as I looked it up, no.
Like the era where it's like, you know, 80s era, that kind of thing. You sure he has not been in any of them?
No. But, are you ready?
Yeah.
In reverse order, because I'm building up to the best one. He was in Lost. He was in an episode of Lost.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
Don't really remember that.
Less said about Lost, the better. Yeah. Don't watch Lost.
Don't watch Lost.
Do not watch Lost.
If you're watching it now, just forget it. Just press stop.
Six seasons. Six seasons, it's wonderful. Seventh season, just what the jiggins. It's
the
awful.
Ending is awful.
Like The Sopranos, it'll really let you down.
Ugh.
He's in a film called Payback with Mel Gibson. I don't know if you ever saw that. That's a really good film.
I recognise the title.
Really good film. He was in Bird on a Wire, which is when Mel Gibson was in his height with Lethal Weapon, starred in a film with Goldie Hawn.
Yes, I remember that.
The only thing you need to remember about Bird on a Wire is Goldie Hawn hardly talks, but she screams in that high-pitched Goldie Hawn thing that she does for the entire film. That's pretty much Bird on a Wire. But here's the kicker.
Yeah?
He was in Arnold Schwarzenegger's mercenary team in Predator.
That's where I've seen him. There you go.
Turn around. Yeah, that's him.
Right.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Bill Duke. And you're like, everyone in Predator makes Predator. It's not just an Arnie film. It's everybody else. But, I mean, maybe we'll reach such a crescendo with Predator that, for God's sake, you know, when we get to episode 7, we do Predator. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe it's going to pop up all throughout this.
Maybe, because, there's a lot of connections to it. But, yeah, we'll get to that.
If you're dealing with a decade of action movies,
yeah,
there is going to be a commonality between them.
Yes,
isn't
like there was in the teen films.
Because we're dealing with a short period of time with kind of like, no, I wouldn't say a handful, but a select, probably 20 or 30 actors that are kind of like good at what they do.
Yeah.
So the chances are, yeah, we're going to have some commonality between the films, I would say.
Yeah, because also in that is Jesse Ventura. He's the guy with the big gun, old painless is waiting. Jesse Ventura went on to be governor as well. He went on into politics.
Oh, right.
Very successfully in politics as well.
Okay.
You've got Shane Black, who's the writer that was the everybody. He played one of the people. You've got Carl Weathers. Apollo Creed is in Predator. And you're just like, I don't know where to look. This is brilliant.
A smorgasbord of talent.
Let's move on to that. We can't not finish roll call without talking about Alyssa Milano, who is his daughter.
Right. Do you know what she reminded me of?
Go on.
Very, very much like Millie Bobby Brown out of
Stranger Things. I can see that. Yeah, yeah. That's a good call. Yeah.
As she's younger. Absolute spitting image of her.
Okay.
Just amazingly similar.
All right. Well.
Yeah. But,
Do you know what she's famous for?
No, never seen her before.
Okay. For me, who was watching Cheers, Family Ties, Cosby Show, all that sort of stuff in the 80s, she was very much in. She was in a TV show called Who's the Boss?
Oh.
Right. So Tony Danza was the guy, and played. She played his daughter, And basically, he was the living housekeeper of a very successful, single, rich woman. And he was the housekeeper, and they came as a team. They were like a father and daughter team type thing.
I did see it.
And they remade it
that.
In the UK. And they remade it with Paul McGann.
Oh!
Yeah. And they called it Who's the Boss? Because it's exactly the same
right.
format.
Yeah.
But she played the daughter in that. She was well known in 1985 because she'd been in the first season of Who's the Boss, which ran for 196 episodes.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely. We're talking, you know, not as. I mean, obviously, Simpsons has got the record and whatever. But then I looked up what else she's in. Do you remember a show called Mistresses on the BBC? There was four women, Mistresses. And we're going back about 10 years.
Oh, it had Sarah Parrish in?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. They remade it in the US in 2013.
Oh.
She was one of the women.
Oh, okay.
So that's something. Oh. She's also in a TV show called Charmed. I knew she was in Charmed, but I didn't know they'd made 178 episodes of that.
Is that like teenage girls?
I've seen teenage girls with cauldrons and stuff.
Witchery things.
Yeah. Cauldrons and newts.
Spell books and wands.
Well, yes, absolutely. So, there you
go. There we go.
There's everyone. That's a good roll call, that.
That was. Went on for a while, though.
Yeah, well, do you know what?
We haven't talked about the film a lot.
Right, let's go back to the film then. Right, so, one thing bugs me about the film, going back to the film. So, at the start, his team get wiped out, as we talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the reason for wiping out his team, for Bennett to fake his death? And then actually be the you know, the main bad guy in it.
Because they wanted him to kill the...
Because they wanted to find out where he was. Yeah?
No, I'm presuming... They want him to kill the...
No, but I'm presuming that nobody knew where Arnold Schwarzenegger was. So they kill his team, really accessible, to flush him out.
To
get the major to go and fly to him and give his location away.
Right.
Doesn't make sense, though, because... And they even say that that's why, that you know, they're murdering your team, John, you know, and obviously I'm here to protect you. You know, I've sent two soldiers here to protect the house as well.
They did a very good job.
They did a lousy job.
They were there, right there,
yeah,
then.
But as soon as the helicopter takes off, his house is assaulted. I mean,
yes.
One of the soldiers gets it. And I'm kind of like... So they knew where he was all the time.
Yeah.
So what was the point of the helicopter?
I don't know.
No point. I mean, I'm not doing a usual, like, let's read too much into it like Iron Eagle. But I mean, you know, which we took apart completely. And it's still our highest rated podcast. It's not highest rated, but highest listened to, probably because it was the first. But I mean, you know, that's just one of those things that bugs me. There are holes. Of course there are holes in it. It's just a film. It's designed to be, you know, one of those things where... You just, as you said at the start, you watch it and switch your brain off.
Yeah.
You're not looking to say, oh, that doesn't look correct, stuff like this. Fine. But yeah, here's the story I'm gonna say. So the way that I copied films in the 80s was because one of the boys who was at the public school was one of my friends. He had a video record, so day kids that went in and out, didn't board. He, Sam Hargrove his name was, and he had a video recorder. He had his own video recorder, and this is what, 1986? I didn't get mine until like, that's sort of like 1987, and just went, my own. He brought his in, and as soon as school finished, at 4, he broke into the English room where the other video recorder was, took some leads, and we just left it going. And by the time we got picked up at 6:30, we copied whatever film that we got. So that's how we made copies of Predator. So made my first ever copy of a film was Top Gun ever. And I did loads because I used to have a wall of videos. It was like 12 feet by 6.
You were like the local Blockbuster then.
Well, yeah, because you used to get somebody, and then somebody would come in, like when I went to tech, somebody would go, oh yeah, I've got a copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, it's massive. It's going to be amazing. And you're just, right, okay, well, let's copy it. Because then I had my own then. But here's the story. That same English room, we had a copy of Commando. And this is 1987 now, okay? So we had a VHS copy of it. the English teacher went, what are we going to... And I swear this is true. The English teacher went, so what are we going to do for the last day of term? And one of the boys went, Hunter, because nobody called you by your first name, Hunter's got a copy of Commando. He goes, Commando? Commando? Never heard of it. It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, sir. Never heard of him. Who's he? And it's just like, oh, well, he's famous, he's the Terminator and stuff. No, don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I says, tell you what, he says, just put it on. And he says, and, you know, we'll just watch that. He said, we've got 45 minutes. So I had to go in front of the class. They all knew what was, well, most of them knew what was coming because they'd all seen it and whatever. I stick on the scene at the end. I start it at the scene from the end.
Why?
Because, you know, you fast forward all the way through until you get to it. Because we only have 45 minutes. And all the boys wanted to see was the gratuitous violence. Right? And this is roughly how it went. What do you think, if he asked you to say to me, a bit like Question of Sport with what happened next? What happened next when I pressed play? What did the English teacher do?
Sent you to the headmaster.
Do you think? Right, okay. That's a reasonable assumption to make. Another one would be...
Can you get me a copy?
Can you turn this off? That, you know, something like this. No, he didn't say, can you get me a copy? He sat there marking his papers with it on at the side, right? So the cabinet thing where you took the cabinet.
Oh, God,
over,
the
right?
cabinet, the telly the cabinet in the cabinet. TV, right? Oh, my God.
With the VHS recorder. Yes. But...
On wheels.
We sat there watching it, and occasionally he'd put his pen down and he'd watch it. And then he turned around. Halfway through it, he went, do you boys think that this is entertainment? Do you boys think this is... You're not interested in Shakespeare, and yet you try, you're glued to this. And he's like, oh, yes, sir, this is amazing, look. Arnold, the ending is body counts high.
Yes.
Right? He's blasting everyone, he's shooting them, you know, tomato sauce or otherwise coming out.
Yeah.
You know, there's heads being shaved, there's loads of stuff. There's things that we saw in the director's cut which aren't in the original.
Oh, the shed thing.
The hand being cut off wasn't in there.
Oh, right, okay.
The buzzsaw yep. in the neck and like that. That's not in the original film.
And the buzzsaw chopping part of the skull off.
That bit is.
Oh,
because you don't really... You just see the head move back and you don't really see a lot. The saw in the thing with the blood... The tomato sauce...
That was pretty bad.
That's pretty gruesome. The hand. He was supposed to pick the arm up, smack the soldier around the head, right, and say, do you need a hand?
Oh, no. I mean, it's full. I've said here it's littered with corny lines.
It's littered with corny lines. So you don't need to... say
That's
some of your
an
best,
Arnie movie,
Say some
though,
of your best in
it?
The middle. So I always remember, and he let it play all the way to the end. He let it play, and then, you know, the bell went a couple of minutes after that.
Did you not have to do, like, an essay about it or
nothing?
Anything?
I just went in the recorder, pressed eject, press it down, close the things,
close
and walked
the cabinet.
Out. Walked out. And he never even mentioned it again. Mr. Gifford.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, okay, that's bold. Because, the windows were open. Any of the teachers walking past would just look at them, what?
What's going on
What's
in
going
there?
On? God, if the headmaster had come in. I mean, I'd be expelled on the spot. But no, he just thought, oh, well, let boys all be boys, let's stick it on.
Blimey.
So, yeah, there you go. That's my story. But, as you said, I think it is one of those films that, you know, you say you can switch your brain off. There are a lot of films where I think you can do action in a more highbrow way. I think you can do it in that way. When I was reading and looking at trivia time, I was looking, okay, what Stallone did, you know, First Blood, let's forget about Rambo 3 and First Blood Part 2. First Blood is a thinking man's action film. It's just incredible. I mean, it's next level stuff. First Blood, the character of John Rambo in that is poignant, emotional, violent. It's everything that you want in there. And they're completely different films.
Is that the one where he's kind of like
in the small town.
In
with the small town sheriff.
And he ends up
going into
the hillside
the hills,
and stuff. Yeah, I have seen that one.
Yeah, starring Colonel Richard Crenna from Leviathan.
Oh my god.
Oh, we've gone back to season
one.
Oh
my god.
There we go. Let's not talk about this golden thread of commonality. So yeah, it does have some good lines in it, as you said. Just tell me a couple of your favourites. There are a lot.
Oh, I can't remember lines.
Oh, I thought you'd written them down, you said.
Oh. Oh, okay then.
Okay.
Oh, I've written three. I've forgotten I've written
them. Okay, well, give us two then. Which is your favourite?
Oh, no. Favorite. This is somebody else that says a line.
Okay.
I just thought it was comical because I'd literally been talking about these.
Are you going to say the security guard?
I can't remember who said it.
If it is, you can't swear.
Oh, no, it's not swearing.
Oh, okay.
No, because you know his name's Matrix.
Yes.
Yeah. They went, no, you're training Matrix. I just thought it was funny because it was a training Matrix. And I'd just been doing about them in my audit.
You know the few listeners that we've got? you know that we've got to hang on to them. And we've really got to, like, try and entertain them. I hope the 50 minutes you've been listening to this have been...
I'm so sorry. I just thought that was hilarious.
That's...
Your training Matrix.
Good lord. If you can see what I see, she's in hysterics.
Oh, and then he...
Have you got any other lines that have absolutely...
Yes. Because he mutters, I'll be back, Bennett.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the start.
Had he already done that line before?
In Terminator, yeah.
Right, well, there we go then. That's an ode to Terminator.
Well,
does he say it in every film?
Pretty much, yeah.
Every film?
He doesn't say it in Predator. He says it in The Running Man.
Does he say it in True Lies?
Yes. Yeah. That's a good question. Okay, definitely Terminator.
Maybe you need to kind of find it and see if that. Oh, and there was another one that really caught my attention. Yeah. It wasn't a lie.
Is it as equally abstract as training matrix?
Yes. extinguish your cigarettes when they're on the aeroplane. Do you remember the days when you could actually smoke on a plane?
Yes. No, I don't actually. No.
Do you not?
No, because I didn't take a plane where I could.
Oh, my first ever plane ride. I went to Kos.
Hmm.
I was 17, and you could still smoke on the aeroplanes.
That's incredible.
And I was with my boyfriend at the time, and it was a row of three seats.
Right.
And I had this. Older, he was probably in his 60s, Scottish guy who really got hammered on the plane journey there. He had champagne and then he had a brandy chaser.
Wow.
And in the end, he was ending up mixing his champagne with his brandy. He was completely trolled by the end.
That's called something here, though, isn't it?
Yeah, getting drunk.
Yeah, well, yeah, but... Getting
more he drank, the more he smoked. And right. In the end, I had to swap seats because I was sat in the middle. So in the end, I said to my guy at the time, I said, oh, can I just, like, change seats? Because I really don't. And he got all leery as well and, like, all poory and kind of wanted to put his head on my shoulder. It was all a bit wrong.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. In the end, we managed to get off the plane. He'd fallen asleep. We had to climb over him. And he was so paralytic, they had to get a stretcher thing and wheel him out.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, he drunk so much.
Okay.
I think it was the altitude, and they should have stopped serving him, but they didn't. I don't know what, anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, so extinguish all cigarettes on the plane.
Do you remember smoking in cinemas?
No, I don't actually.
No, smoking in cinemas. I think it was sort of outlawed around the sort of mid-80s time.
Outlawed.
But I remember it. I remember going into there and used to say at the sides were smoking sections. like it mattered. And I remember, like, seeing 2001 and things like that. You know, films which had a...
Yeah,
because I went and watched films that were all over the place. You know, I'd snuck in, you know, somebody would go in and open the fire exit because he knew that it wasn't alarmed. At the time, and we nip in films that way.
Yeah.
90% of the time, we paid. I wasn't trying to do it. I know I've got a name for myself, parroting films.
So, yeah, there are three lines.
Okay.
Probably not the best lines.
Wow.
Too abstract.
Do you know what I think? I think we should move to trivia time.
Yeah, I think we should.
It's only because Yes, it's moving on.
I think everybody knows
think
the story
talk.
Of Commando, don't they?
Well, I don't know. You didn't.
Well, no, but like I'm one of the few people that are going to listen to this have probably watched the movie.
Do you know what? We might have listeners that go, I was so enthralled with your breakdown, the chances are, that I've stuck with you ever since for all these films that I've never watched. We could. Or it could be somebody that's just passed on it, typed in, oh, I don't know, I want a different film podcast. Oh, this Rusted Junk's got a good logo. We haven't. It's got a good theme tune. We have. And these two seem vaguely amusing, especially the woman.
The Brits. Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm going to start. So, let's go to trivia time. Let's do trivia time.
Trivia time.
Okay, my first piece of trivia, I think, is brilliant.
Oh, do you know what I forgot to do just before you start on that?
Okay.
I forgot to give the percentage scores.
Oh, do you want to give the percentage score?
Yeah, it was 71% and 67%. So we're a little bit higher, aren't we? Yeah.
Well, I'm still reading enough to give in 10 to the Breakfast Club and you lot clubbing together and barely making 15.
We didn't club together.
There were how many of you? Jack gave it... I was listening to it again. Joe said, oh, I'm going to give it... I was only going to give it 4. Taylor went, oh, we'll give it 5. But I added a point on for extra things, and you're like, oh, well, I was going to give it that. You were like so cozied up to the nerd alert guys.
Yeah, but none of us knew what we were going to score.
I'll take points off as well.
Until we did
funny.
It then.
It's 10 out of 10.
I had written it in my way. Book, thanks.
Right, anyway. Right, trivia time. Here we go.
Yeah, go on.
In 1986, a sequel was written
to this?
Commando. Yes. Because.
Were they not all dead?
No, because it made more. It was considered a good film. It didn't take as much as First Blood. It didn't take as much as some of the action films, but it was all right. I think I've got how much it took at some point down here. Was written by Stephen D'Souza and revised by Frank Darabont, who's famous for The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Okay. With an eye to having John McTiernan direct. Now, John McTiernan was one of my favourite directors. The films he made. Hunt for Red October, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, you like that one.
Yeah, I do. The script was based on the book Nothing Lasts Forever, which was written in 1979. Nothing Lasts Forever by Roderick Thorpe. But Schwarzenegger just wasn't interested in playing the role. So he wasn't interested in playing John Matrix again. The script was then reworked with... a new central character, eventually played by Bruce Willis, and it became Die Hard.
Oh!
So Arnold Schwarzenegger passed on Die Hard, essentially, which I think's great. Did he need Die Hard at that time? No.
But the character in Die Hard isn't.
Well, it.
Commando's character.
No, but the thing about it is they were going to adapt the book.
Oh.
That John Matrix was, you know, in the building. And, you know, his wife, you know, not his wife, but his daughter would be in peril again and all that sort of stuff.
Oh,
and
work
it that way.
Yeah.
In the end, Die Hard becomes Die Hard.
Well, we would never have had that Christmas movie, would we?
No, and we wouldn't have had the rise of... Well, I don't think you would have had the rise of Bruce Willis.
No moonlighting, mind you, that's not such a
bad
thing.
Doing moonlighting well before that. He was in Blind Date before that and loads of stuff. Mm. Would he have been... I mean... There's no doubt that Die Hard is Bruce Willis's catapult film
into
pretty much everything, even though he was fantastic in Moonlighting. Martial arts expert and fight choreographer Michael M. Vendrell worked with Arnie on the film, and by the end of production, he said he estimated that Schwarzenegger, because of his training and his dedication to training, had become a second-degree black belt.
Oh, my God.
Because he was that good at what he was doing. I love these. There's only a there is some, but I mean, working through them quite nicely in this one. The shopping mall, which is where they visit in this, is the same one in Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Oh.
Okay. The mall's been remodeled now after Terminator 2. So mid-90s it was changed. But when you look at that, and then you look at that, you go, it's the same place. And it's wonderful.
Oh, how funny.
You would guess it from the car park. You would guess it from the iconic bit in the lift when he's going down the car park. Mm. It looks pretty much the same, but you wouldn't do it. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Werner Wells have remained close friends ever since the making of the movie. They obviously bonded, bit of bromance there. As did Alyssa Milano and Arnie, they became friends. Milano said that Schwarzenegger helped her with her maths homework in our set in between breaks.
He was a kindergarten cop.
He was a kindergarten, absolutely. He wasn't. But here is the mystery of the string vest and Vernon Wells possibly being out of shape. Are you ready?
Go on then.
Vernon Wells wasn't the original actor cast to play Bennett.
So what happened?
He did audition for the role, but another actor got it. On the first day of filming, the director, Mark L. Lester, fired the other actor and hired Wells and said, "Bring me Wells.
Bring me Wells.
Bring me Wells." This is the reason that Bennett's clothes are so tight.
Oh, God, they were made for another guy.
Because Wells was bigger than the original actor. And the production didn't have the time to make the new costume. Over the years, a rumour had developed that Wells originally auditioned for the part of Matrix, of Arnie's character. Arnie's character. That's false. Does not do it. I love this next bit. It's great, because as soon as I watched this film, I just went, oh my God, it's Commando. Dan Hedaya, Arias is his name in the film, is said to be a disposed dictator, so the guy that Arnie knocked off and implemented the new president, yeah, from the country of Val Verde. That's the place. Val Verde was a fictionalised South Central American country used by Hollywood from the 80s until the early 90s.
Oh!
Okay. To depict a Spanish-speaking country similar to Cuba or Nicaragua without encountering any sort of diplomatic problems. It's completely made up. It's a bit like phone numbers in films. 555. Okay? That doesn't exist. 555-1729. You see phone numbers all the time written down. 555 was invented for the films. Doesn't exist.
All right. Okay.
So it's a bit like they're just inventing something so they can keep reusing it and not get into any problems about showing somebody's actual number.
You know. It's a bit like going back to Iron Eagle, the Middle Eastern state. Remember that?
Yes, that's right.
They
didn't
actually the general name
of the state. We don't know which one.
Yeah.
Don't ask us any more questions. without encountering diplomatic problems. It's also referenced in the films Predator. the made-for-TV movie Supercarrier, Deadly Enemies. It sounds like the sort of thing that I would watch, but I didn't. Die Hard 2. That's where the guy was coming from.
Is that
coming into the airport?
Who's the central character in 2?
2. It's John McClane again.
No, the buddy.
Oh, well, you've got the dictator guy. He almost does the same thing here. He plays second fiddle to William. He plays Colonel Stewart. Colonel Stewart is the guy. Got his name now, William. Oh, that's testing me, because Die Hard 2, I loved it. The same guy played Death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, but that doesn't help you because I can't remember his name.
There he is.
But yeah, Die Hard 2, more than a step up for it handles its own quite nicely. I think, yeah, the Die Hard films, the first three, complement each other nicely. Die Hard obviously being the best out of the three. Die Hard 4 and Die Hard 5. Let's forget about that.
There's a 4 and a 5.
There's a 4 and a 5.
Oh dear.
Don't get inquisitive.
Don't need to do that.
If I'm not here and Netflix will go, "Oh, A Good Day to Die Hard," which is the title of one of them. Oh well, let's watch that then. No, don't bother. There are 54 stunt performers listed in the credits. 17 more people than the actual cast.
Oh my goodness.
Which I thought was great. John McTiernan was offered the chance to direct this film, turned it down. Later, while editing Nomads, a 1986 film, his feature debut, he was offered the chance to direct Arnold Schwarzenegger's second film for 20th Century Fox, and he makes Predator. So you've got Predator, Die Hard, Hunt for Red October in the space of 3 years.
Wow.
And then some. And he just,
What a catalogue. What a catalogue.
What a catalogue in 3 years. I mean, what diverse, completely diverse films.
Yeah.
From each other. You know, obviously, they're all action, but you look at Hunt for Red October, oh God, watch it again. Nick Nolte, the actor, was the original choice for John Matrix, but Schwarzenegger was cast instead. says he. We get these a lot when you look at trivia. You never know whether or not it's true or not. Mm. Because an earlier one says, oh, you don't know who the other actor is. But then somebody goes, oh, it's Nick Nolte. And you're like, it's the same thing as when you get, oh, Tom Cruise and Michael J. Fox all auditioned for the role in Breakfast Club or something. You just like, take that with a pinch of salt. The screenwriter, Jeff Loeb, originally wrote the script with the intention of having Gene Simmons from Kiss to play John Matrix, Schwarzenegger's character.
No way!
Wait a minute, because this is what I haven't discussed with you and I haven't told you.
Oh, God, okay.
But Simmons passed it on early in the development stage. Loeb then rewrote the script with Nick Nolte in mind and out of condition former commando. The storyline was to concern a special forces agent working in the Middle East. He becomes sick of the continuous death and destruction. He leaves Israel, returns to the United States and retires, but then forced out of retirement after the kidnapping of his daughter. Mm. That was the original plan.
Right.
Gene Simmons had two great roles in films in the 80s. One of which was in the Tom Selleck film Runaway, where he's brilliant. But far better than that, the Rutger Hauer film Wanted Dead or Alive, where he plays the world's most international terrorist. Gene Simmons plays a bad guy perfectly.
Oh.
So I can't see him in this film. I can't see him in this role. Mm. But just check it. I know I'm going to add to the list. So what we got? Wild at Heart, Adventures of Ford Fairlane, and now Wanted Dead or Alive. Definitely. It's really good. For those gun nuts that like to know, Matrix goes into battle with a Valmet M78 light machine gun, an Uzi submachine gun, a Remington Model 870 combat shotgun, and a Desert Eagle semi-automatic pistol. He also commandeers an M60 belt-fed machine gun and an M16 assault rifle. There you go. So if you're any doubt as to the high death count in there, yeah, they all contributed to that, along with other stuff.
Have you mentioned like the rocket launcher thing?
Oh, the rocket launcher was great.
What model was that?
Oh, that wasn't on there. It didn't, you know.
Oh.
The rocket launcher, that little...
Because that was funny. Because, like, when he's... the lady that works at the airport,
yeah.
She kind of follows them after...
She breaks,
after,
has to break him out of the police.
They get found out busting into the kind of... the gun shop, basically. Mm. The ammo surplus shop.
Yeah.
And they get busted. And, like, they put him in the back of the police van. And they drive along and... She follows them, and then I end up launching the rocket, but it goes the wrong way.
That was good. That's good. But, I mean, it's in fitting with the film. It doesn't seem out of place on that. The mansion used in the final shootout is the same mansion in the final shootout at Beverly Hills Cop.
Uh-huh.
It's the same one.
Right.
And they were both trying to rescue... a woman stroke girl called Jenny.
Oh.
There you go. Well, I love that. I think that's it's really good. Total body count at the end was how much?
Oh, good Lord. It was three in the first 3 minutes.
$150. $102.
Oh, I wasn't far off.
The last bit was something that we according to Commando, let off some steam. Made in 2007, the official number of how many people Matrix kills trying to rescue his daughter is 81. But it's 102 in the whole film. So, anyway, yeah. There we go. I love those. Because those, I think, that's how we're going to do trivia time. Rather than just a succession of things. Those are good trivia.
Mm.
I mean, the Die Hard, the Val Verde one, you just thought, I can't wait to put that one in because you already knew that one.
I wonder how many other films have got that in it then.
Well, I don't know because they only listed. We'll have a look after this and we'll report back. But yeah.
How's it spelled?
Val Verde. Val as in, hey Val, I go down with like, the bingo with Val.
Like Auntie Val.
Yeah, and Verde as in...
Green.
Yeah.
You're thinking, what are you on about, green?
No, I'm thinking about Verdi as in lasagna Verdi, is it?
Green
lasagna.
Yeah, that's what Verdi is.
Right, okay. Is there a pink lasagna?
No, but there might be an orangey one. Okay. Don't ask me what that is, anyway.
Well, okay. Well, there we go. There's Commando.
Nice. One thing I did want to sort of point out was I thought it was actually really good casting to what's the name of the black lady?
Ray Dawn Chong.
Ray
Dawn Chong.
Ray. Okay, yeah. I'll just call her Ray. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really good to cast Ray, especially as she played a very important part in the movie.
Yeah.
I.e., she was training as a pilot, and she was able to fly the plane. And without that, he wouldn't have got to where he needed to get to.
Yeah.
So it actually worked out quite well for him.
I guess in a way, the 80s comes in for some tough criticism when it comes to diversity, but you know, I remember that there weren't standout black action stars. We did have Apollo Creed, you know, but there weren't standouts. Carl Weathers is supposed to be his equal in Predator,
but they're not leading guys, are
but
they?
They're not leading guys in that sort of way. But if you look at Predator, I remember her name is Giancarlo Esposito, is the woman that they find that's captured from the village.
Yeah.
Who sees the Predator for the first time.
Remember,
she gets splattered with blood.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's a visceral scene. You know, I don't know if you go back and track all these films, whether or not Arnie was like, no, I want as much in there as possible. You might not agree with his politics. You know, he's a Republican, but he was quite a sort of left-leaning Republican because he introduced all the environmental stuff and healthy living and things like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he had that right from the start.
He's gone all plant-based now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, yeah. He's vegan, so you forget about that. But, I mean, you got things like Conan the Barbarian was one of his early films in the early 80s.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
In 80...
He'd got long hair there, hadn't he?
Yeah, in 82, he made... Was it 82 or 84? I think it might have been the same sort of time. He made Conan the Destroyer. And he cast the love interest as Grace Jones.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I don't know if there's a theme there. I don't know if there's anything like that. But now I'm thinking about it, The Running Man. Yeah. There's a Latino woman in that, so I don't know, you know, if it's one of the things that he was consciously thinking about,
right?
So that's interesting. That might come up yeah, later, yeah, when we have a look at it. But
because there aren't that many films, are there, that you think of that have got, you know, a good leading
there were TV series that were pretty much groundbreaking. I know we can't mention his name, but you can't not mention this next bit without mentioning his name. The Cosby Show was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was a complete, an awful character when it all came out.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time, The Cosby Show, I got shouted at by my dad for watching The Cosby Show every time, and I won't tell you what he said because...
It's not repeatable.
Yeah. It's not repeatable in the slightest, but predictably, he acted like a dad in the 70s and 80s. And just came out and said, why are you watching this rubbish? Paraphrasing. And I remember looking at that and going, I don't see it. The guy's making me laugh. The family are good. You know, it's almost like when you grow up rurally, you don't really see.
You see,
colour's not an issue type thing.
No, absolutely. And I think the first kind of like thing that I really sort of watched on telly that was on like our mainstream telly, it wasn't like on Sky or anything at the time, was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
With Will Smith. There was nothing else like it. And yeah, I actually really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how we got into this, but it's just...
No.
I know, but...
I just think it's important to recognise the fact, you know, it could have been so formulaic that it was, you know, a ditzy, blonde... airport lady, and you know, a bit Goldie Hawn-ish, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was kind of like the opposite of that.
No, she rolled the sleeves up. She was integral to the plot because he would never have known where to go without her.
No.
So she's pretty much integral to the plot. So,
yeah. So I think that was really
we will actually cover one of the best, certainly. You know, I don't know if I can call him an action hero, but we will talk about Carl Weathers because, drum roll, I'm very excited that I managed to get this on the thing, but the director's cut of Rocky IV has been released next month. Yes, we will be covering it.
Oh, you're very happy.
Yes, I am very happy because I love Rocky IV. I shouldn't, but...
who's in Rocky IV?
Rocky IV.
I don't know if I've seen it.
Even Drago. Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, I've seen that
and
one.
Bridget Nielsen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's when things were getting a bit sparky.
That's when. Well, I'm not going to spoil trivia time, but I'm going to tell you, Dolph Lundgren put him in hospital.
Oh.
Because they weren't always acting. Yes, they didn't like each other. So when you see that fight, I always look at that fight and then go, I think that was real. Yeah, that did land.
And it was all over a lady, was it?
Well, yeah. It was always over, Bridget Nielsen. Anyway, right, it's wonderful to be back. Sorry we've overrun slightly, but, you know, at least we not... our longest podcast, I think, was The Untouchables, which was like 1 hour 20 something. We're not going to be that far off here now, so let's just say goodbye. We're going to come up with a different game, for Little Does She Know. So for those fans that had a little taster when during Roll Call, we will do it. We will come up with another game. We will come up with another thing whereby...
But that just happened. We didn't think of that.
No, we didn't. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know. And it can still drift in and out. I don't think, of course it can. But let's come up with something.
Well, you can just check in, just make sure I don't know a lot. Still.
We might have a visual thing. We might have a wheel that we spin and then it gets to a particular crash.
It will get lost on listeners because they won't be able to see the
wheel.
They'll
be able to hear the clack of the wheel. I'll make
the
it...
clack?
I won't just put a match in like a hexagon and then spin it around and then just have like five seconds of silence.
We
and
can
just,
do
oh,
the game of life and reschedule the wheel
I can,
on that.
Right, I can spin that. That'll make the sound. Great. And then I'll spin the hexagon with the match in. Anyway, we'll come up with something.
You could just
That's
do
fine.
A randomised generator on your laptop.
What fun's that?
Okay.
Oh, here you go. Click. Yeah, anyway, it's come out as this.
Number two.
Yeah, exactly. Ridiculous. Right, anyway, we love you all, our podcast audience. We really do. So thank you very much.
Oh, and I think I've got some more listeners.
Have you?
By the way, yeah.
Well, we've got to be quick, otherwise we're going to break records here.
I just sort of said it on sort of conversations on Yammer at work.
Okay.
So, yeah, I went, oh, hi, if you're interested... We've been doing this for a year.
Oh, dear. They probably love you and then go, who's this goit that's speaking in there?
So, hello, all my work colleagues.
Don't be getting ideas.
Just tuned in.
Don't be getting ideas that you can like spin off ideas to do another one. Oh, I'm going to do a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie podcast. Well, you're on
out. I
wouldn't
do that to you, darling.
Because it's pretty crap after The Quest. He didn't do anything else after, pretty much nothing after Hard Target is his best film.
Okay.
But we can't do it because it's 94.
No, I'd really like to do, is it Roundhouse with Patrick Swayze? Roundhouse.
Oh,
my God. I'm sure that's a restaurant.
That's going to be the game. I'm gonna name the film and she's going to say...
If it's right or wrong.
No, yeah. Is it Roundhouse or is it... That's the name of it. Roundhouse or Roundhouse. There we go.
Which house is it?
Whose house? Run's house.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
We've got to go.
Right, we've got to go.
Oh,
right, so with that, I'm going to say cheerio.
Toodle pip.
Rusted Junk. Rusted Junk. Rusted Junk. The Forgotten 80s Movies. The Forgotten 80s Movies.